For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hey, it's State of State. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of over 150 slots games. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget, use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its Market Savings program. Market Savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save. Joining me today on State of State, he is Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus, a platform that I think the world of. My co-host, Justin King, not the biggest fan of Pro Football Focus, but I think for the purposes of this conversation, I think this is very, very interesting. We're talking about evaluating Penn State quarterback Drew Aller, getting an honest opinion from an outside source. Now, we will be very upfront. While Max is a graduate of Syracuse University, he is a lifelong Penn State football fan. Max, how deep does your fanhood go?
Unfortunately, very deep. There's been a lot of heartbreak over the last some few years. Every Ohio State game, I always prepare myself because I always know Penn State's going to go up by 10 in the third quarter, and then they're going to somehow blow it away. So, yeah, it's very deep. I was telling you before, there's very few teams that I still really actively root for, and Penn State football is definitely one of them. So that's definitely my favorite sports team that I root for right now. And even though I'm a college football analyst or PFF, like I have to cover it nationally, I do catch myself on Saturday still obviously rooting for Penn State, even though I went to Syracuse and didn't go to Penn State. But I grew up a huge Penn State fan. I still am right now.
It's been easy to stick with Penn State football fandom versus Syracuse football fandom over the last 10, 20 years. You know, no big deal. Thank you all for tuning in. Like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, and rate us. Follow us on social media, X, Instagram, and TikTok at State of State Pod. Max, I'm a big fan of the way PFF looks at things from different perspectives, use the data, use the metrics, and just really gets in depth in terms of evaluating players. In your experience at Pro Football Focus, how often are you looking at quarterbacks, and how deep does one have to go to really understand one player versus another?
Extremely deep. And I think that's why PFF is in a position that no one else can really be in, and that we have this entire world of data for every single football player in college football, whether that be the FBS level, FCS level, even some D2 and D3 guys we have data on. Basically, if you, from your first snap in college to your last snap in the NFL, we have every single play charted on you, and it can give you stats that nobody else can. So it's evaluating player, and the big reason why PFF exists is because evaluating players so much more than just completion percentage, passing yards, touchdowns, and interceptions. There's so much context that gets lost when you're just talking about those stats. So that's why I think PFF is in a great position. I'm not saying, you know, one of our stats is perfect, our grades aren't perfect or anything like that, but I do think they capture a player and how good of a player he is more than any other statistic that you have out there that is open to the general public, at least. So that's why I've always loved PFF when I was a kid, because of their world of data. It always made me feel smarter about football, reading their stuff and using their stats, and now working there and I have access to even more of that. It's a kind of a dream come true for me to be doing this right now. So that's why I'm such a big fan of the PFF data right now. And I think that we are able to cover college football and NFL in a different way than everyone else, because we could tell you, you know, exactly all the context that gets missed with the traditional stats you have out there.
There's just only so much you can glean from sitting on your couch or attending a game and seeing something. You don't see that proverbial all 22. You don't necessarily know what all the assignments were. And there's a lot of interpersonal things where miscommunications can happen. So that may be a situation where PFF, hey, of course you're not going to know what those things are. But for the most part, being able to gauge how a play was supposed to shake out, what the quarterback's responsibility was, and all those different scenarios one might experience at quarterback. Specifically with Drew Aller, were you aware of his standing in high school and his recruitment process?
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember, I actually interviewed Sean Clifford, right before the Rose Bowl. Terrific, kid. And I was really not just a kid. I'm same age as him, but
he might be older than you. Yeah.
He graduated the same high school class. So we are the same age, but, yeah, he's a terrific guy, at least. And yeah, I remember his last year at Penn State when I was at the Whiteout game. I believe it was Minnesota they were playing. And I remember when Clifford was announced as the starter, people were booing because, one, people didn't think Sean Clifford was that great. And I thought Clifford got a lot more hate than he deserved. But also, two, Aller, you have Drew Aller back there as a five-star quarterback coming out of high school. So I was very, very aware of it. I was. I do keep in touch with recruiting as much as I can. I love high school recruiting and kind of my big thing why I love college football more than the NFL is that I always loved knowing what's next, you know, who's the next guy, you know, who's in all that. And then obviously to do that, you also have to know high school recruiting. So like you have to keep in touch with who are the top guys in high school. So like I always love that, you know, a guy like Trevor Lawrence, for example, I really knew about him when he was a freshman in high school. Right. There are articles being written about this guy. Like, this guy is the truth. And so when everyone else kind of got introduced to him in his freshman year at Clemson, this is like 5 years later for me where I was like, yeah, no, I knew this guy was gonna be elite. So, that's why I love high school recruiting. And I'm not, obviously it's a very, very fickle business in high school right now, but, yeah, I still follow it very closely. Cause like I said, I always love knowing who's next. So yes, I was very aware of Drew Aller and his five-star status coming into Penn State.
And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to have this conversation, because I think Penn State fans, myself included, and probably yourself included, because we care, emotion gets caught up in the evaluation process. So that's why I wanted to have this discussion, is that even looking back at that 2022 season, for instance, I remember Penn State fans, yes, the season was not quote unquote lost at that point, but the aspirations for a Big Ten championship for the college football playoff were out of reach for Penn State. So I think that's why I was like, well, why are we still playing Clifford? And same thing, I remember Penn State at Indiana was another one where I was like, man, this is an inferior opponent. Clifford, I think, was banged up going into that game. So there was a hope from Penn State fans to see Drew Aller get in there, but I digress. Now that we've seen a full year of Drew Aller as a starter, what were some of the things about his game that you thought were really, really strong?
I think he did an excellent job of not putting the ball in harm's way. Last year he had, so we actually have the stat at PFF called turnover worthy play rate. So basically any play that is worthy of being a turnover, as you know, self-explanatory as that is. So if you fumble the ball, if you throw it right at a defender, that counts as a turnover worthy play, whether or not the defender catches the interception, by the way, which is why I'm again, going back to the context part of it, that counts. You know, if you throw it right to the linebacker and hits him in the chest and he drops it, that goes down in the books as an incompletion. that should have been an interception, right? And that's how we constitute at PFF. Whereas, you know, if you throw a beautiful pass 40 yards down the field, hits your receiver right in the hands, he pops it up in the air and it gets picked off, that goes in the books as an interception. Whereas really that should have been a major big time throw for you. So that's what, again, context goes into it. Aller had a turnover worthy play rate of only 1.1% on his dropbacks, which was second in the country, only behind Bo Nix. Now, some of that goes into it in that Penn State never really threw the ball down the field. So obviously there wasn't a higher chance of him committing turnover worthy plays, but I also thought Al did a really good job of just taking what was there and taking what the defense gave him and doing that. So he had a top 20 PFF grade in the country as well for quarterbacks. Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, Drew Aller was hamstrung by the supporting cast Penn State had last year. And I thought he was unfairly blamed because of it. I think he's probably the most disrespected quarterback in college football right now, in my opinion. I think he's a lot better than what Penn State allowed him to be last year. And hopefully with Andy Kolodicki coming in, that there'll be more opportunities for him to show why he was so highly rated coming out of high school. And honestly, why I still think he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in college football right now. And I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. I just think he really was held back by Penn State really last year.
There's a lot of reasons why things didn't quite work out in 2023. A lot of people point at the wide receiver talent. Would you agree with that? I think there's also an argument that can be made for the potential infighting occurring between then offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich and head coach James Franklin, the rest of the staff.
Yes, I think there's a few reasons why Penn State did not perform well offensively last year. And I really don't think any of it was Drew Aller. I think there are some times where he missed some throws, sure. But like at the same time, it was maddening watching Penn State football games because you know Aller's really good and it's just he's not being allowed to be good. And Penn State last year was tied for 81st in the country in receiving grade. They also had the fifth highest drop rate in the Power Five. They dropped about 11% of their passes last year. So Penn State's receivers were not very good at all. And it's still a major concern going into next year because I don't really think they got that much better at receiver besides adding Julian Fleming. But then again, you also lost Keandre Lambert-Smith to the portal as well. So it's kind of a neutral thing that you have right
there.
Kind
of break even there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like I am still very concerned about that receiving core. Now, obviously, the offensive line loses a few pieces too. I think the talent around him I'm still concerned about. And then also he was under pressure within 2.5 seconds on over 21% of his dropbacks. And the only other quarterback in my top 10 that had a higher percentage than that was Shedeur Sanders. And we all know how bad Colorado's offensive line is. That's been well documented how bad their offensive line is. And then also, so you got the offensive line that was a little worse than people give it credit for last year in terms of pass blocking. And then also the receiving core is bad. And then Mike Yurcich, the play calling was abysmal last year. He really held Drew Aller back a lot. And obviously, evidenced by Mike Yurcich getting fired in November before the season was even over. The other stat that I always point to too is like you look at Drew Aller, you see the 6'5" size, 240-pound size, you see the rocket launcher of an arm. You would expect Penn State to throw the ball deep down the field. They actually had the second lowest deep pass attempt rate in college football at 10.3%. So they were not targeting at all down the field. In fact, there's only one other school in the country that was targeting downfield less than Penn State last year. So they really did not treat Drew Aller like the, you know, talented armed quarterback that he was last year. So in a lot of that's why he's the most disrespected quarterback in the country because he just was held back by a bad receiving core, an okay offensive line, and then a terrible, you know, play calling situation as well. So I think everything was working against Drew Aller last year. Even with that, he still, I thought, had a pretty good season by his standards too. So that's why I'm very, very high in Drew Aller. And that's why I'm pretty low on Penn State for how they've surrounded him with talent recently.
I want to stick with the offensive line because the head scratcher for me, and I think for a lot of fans, is we just got done watching the NFL draft, and it's how do you have three guys go in the draft from your offensive line? Granted, the individual players don't equal the sum of their parts, that sort of argument, but Olu Fashanu, who didn't give up a sack for 2 years, Caden Wallace, I think, was criminally underrated, also had a very, very good 2023. And then Hunter Norzad, while a transfer from Cornell, he was a good center. And at times, you hear James Franklin say that he was maybe one of the best centers in the country. Now he's, I believe, on the Green Bay Packers roster trying to get himself a spot. So why do you see the success of those three, or at least the high evaluation by the pros on those three, yet the lack of production back in 2023 for that offensive line?
Yeah, I think I do think they were solid enough in pass blocking. They were 58th in the country in pass blocking grade, which is right around average for college football. They were actually a really good run blocking unit. They were 14th in the country in run blocking grade. Now, obviously, Olu Fashanu, his run blocking has been the biggest weakness of his career, and obviously his pass protection has been the best part. So besides Olu Fashanu, though, I don't think Penn State had an excellent pass blocker on that offensive line last year, honestly. So that's why you saw some of the pressures coming interior-wise and also on Caden Wallace's side of the field, too. I think they were a good enough offensive line, but I wouldn't say they were as good as, you know, the three draft picks that they had in the NFL draft as well. So I was lower on Caden Wallace than a lot of people. I thought him going in the third round was really, really high for him, in my opinion. Hunter Norzad, I thought, was fine, too. I thought he was a day three pick like he was. I think the offensive line was fine last year. It wasn't like the receiving core was definitely the biggest weakness on the team last year. But I also, whenever you talk about the supporting cast for Penn State, I always try to caution people, like, listen, that old line was not as good as you might think it was, considering they had three draft picks and two of them in the first 2 days of the draft. That's why, again, it wasn't a major issue, but it was worse than what people give it credit for, in my opinion.
Cycling back to Mike Yurcich, I find it fascinating how 2021, it looks like a really good hire. 2022, it's a little clunky. Sean Clifford, to your point, is getting a lot of that blame. 2023, it's like, what are we doing? So how did Mike Yurcich devolve in front of the eyes of Penn State fans?
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer, right? And, you know, watching Drew Aller last year, it just gave me a lot of Christian Hackenberg vibes. You know, obviously, I'm not saying he's, you know, Hackenberg and that he's going to not work out in the NFL at all. I think there's a really good chance that Drew Aller is a way better NFL quarterback than he is in college, just because you can have a better opportunity in the NFL than he does at Penn State right now. But I do think that it was just a lot of like, okay, why are you not throwing the ball downfield? Why are you just keep insisting on these short screen passes and all that? And I think some of it has to do with the receiving core, and Mike Yurcich knew that the receiving core just wasn't that talented, and they weren't able to win down the field that much. But also, it was maddening that he didn't at least try to throw the ball down the field. Like I said, he only threw the ball 20-plus yards on 10% of his dropbacks last year, which, again, was the second lowest rate in the country. So I thought it was nuts. I thought it was a very, very bad misuse of talent that Penn State had last year in terms of Drew Aller's arm talent, how strong of an arm he has. And just making him a dink and dunk quarterback is just not the way to use Drew Aller at all. So that's why I was very disappointed by Mike Yurcich last year. And obviously James Franklin was too, and why he relieved him of his duties in November. I am very excited about Andy Koldenicki. He's a very, very creative offensive coordinator. I think that'll be really, really good for Drew Aller. In fact, that's one of the only reasons why I'm a little bit more optimistic about Penn State this year, because I am still really worried about the receiving core. I'm still really worried about the offensive line now too. But I do think the Andy Koldenicki hire is a really, really good one by James Franklin. So hopefully this is the one, hopefully, that will turn it around for a little bit for Penn State, even though the rest of the supporting cast for Drew Aller is still subpar, in my opinion.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, you mentioned the pieces now going into 2024. I'm more concerned about the offensive line because of the departures we just talked about, Fashanu, Wallace, and Norzad. There is experience and some comfort with the interior of the offensive line. You're replacing a center, but you do have depth at guard, and there's competition occurring at both tackle spots, and that's not always a good sign. There's talent, but I don't know if it's necessarily been realized or come to its full maturation yet. Andy Koldenicki has this great track record at Kansas. It was okay, we have athletes, but we don't have the strongest offensive line, and we have two very mobile quarterbacks. Then you go to his time at Buffalo. He had two outstanding tailbacks, and he worked them into the ground in a good way, and they set records at that university. So he's known for being able to work with whatever he's given. You don't necessarily have the downfield threat that you would like at wide receiver. And it's the challenge I always have watching this team is that the last several years, the tight end capability has been excellent for Penn State. I don't know if the production is necessarily in the same stratosphere as a Brock Bowers at Georgia, for instance, but you go from Brenton Strange, Tyler Warren, and Theo Johnson. Now Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren in 2023. Now it's the Tyler Warren show in 2024. Some other very capable tight ends behind him, but still, again, waiting to see how they mature. Do you think the tight end room is going to be responsible for helping move this offense downfield? Because I don't feel that confidence is going to come from the receivers this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be key. I think Tyler Warren's going to be huge for this offense. I think he's one of the better tight ends that we have in college football right now. And that's another, you know, that in the running back room, right, with Singleton and Catron Allen and Quentin Martin coming into his true freshman season. He was a top 100 recruit, too. The running back room I'm really intrigued by, too. So hopefully they could do stuff. But also, it's really hard to get a great ground game if your offensive line is struggling. So it's up to the offensive line in a lot of ways next year. But, yeah, again, I think Aller is a much better fit for Andy Kotelnicki than he was for Mike Yurcich. And I know, you know, Kansas, they ran a lot of they had very mobile quarterbacks. And obviously Aller is not that mobile. But Kansas, I mean, they threw the ball downfield, to their credit. I mean, they took the – they had these third in the Power 5 in terms of average at the target at about 12.3 yards downfield. So, on average, they were throwing the ball 12 yards downfield every single time, which is, like I said, the third highest in the Power 5. And even though Kansas's receiving core didn't really have a true alpha number one superstar, they still had the second best receiving grade in college football last year. And teams like Oregon and Washington were right behind them. We all know how good Oregon and Washington's receiving core is. You know, just look at the NFL draft and look at the returning players for Oregon too. So I think that's a really encouraging sign, is that even though Kansas did not have, you know, elite receiving talent, they still had the second best receiving grade in the country, just because Andy Kotelnicki, I thought, did a really good job of scheming them up, honestly. So hopefully you could do more with Penn State this year, because I am worried about that wide receiver room, even with the addition of Julian Fleming. And hopefully they could throw the ball downfield more like he did at Kansas this past year, which will hopefully, you know, play to more Aller's strengths more. But yeah, there is, besides Kotelnicki though, there is serious concern for me along the offensive line and in that receiver room right now.
In terms of wide receiver targets for Drew Aller, I mentioned it before, it feels like he kind of broke even. Keandre Lambert-Smith went into the portal. He's off to Auburn. You get Julian Fleming in the winter portal window from Ohio State. Trey Wallace is a question mark in that he could be the number one wide receiver, but he needs to stay healthy. He has some flashes of great athleticism here and there and is able to catch the ball, but is Fleming for real? I think that's been a huge question for Penn State fans, especially if you pair him with Aller. Does that have the potential to be a transcendent duo?
Hopefully. I mean, that's what Penn State's hoping right now, right? I mean, Julian Fleming coming out of high school was the number three overall recruit in the country. So he had a very, very, a lot of expectations on him going into Ohio State. He was expected to be, you know, the next great Ohio State receiver. And he just kind of got lost in the shuffle in that Ohio State receiver room. Now, you know, to his credit, it's easy for anyone to get lost in that receiver room with how much talent they've had in recent years. I mean, obviously Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, those are four first-round picks right there. Mm-hmm. And then you also have guys who were there as well, like Jameson Williams spent a year there while Julian Fleming was there, who also was a first-round pick. It was easy for him to get lost in the shuffle, right, with how many superstar receivers were there. But also, it's been 4 years, and he's been nothing more than like a number three or number four, or even number five receiver for Ohio State. So it's hard for me, because I know a lot of Penn State fans are excited, and I am excited to see what he could do as a true like go-to receiver now, but it's hard for me to get too excited, you know, and go back to his high school recruiting. I was like, dude, that was 4 years ago. Like, that was a very, very long time ago. So I do think there's an opportunity for him that he never really had at Ohio State, and maybe he can realize that potential that we saw coming out of high school. But it is tough to really get yourself hyped about a guy, because he was a top three recruit when that was 4 years ago, and really hasn't really shown too much to get excited about, at least in the college right side of things. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what he can do next year. I'm really interested in seeing what Julian Fleming can do as a true go-to guy for Drew Aller. Caden Saunders is another guy that I'm excited to see as another former highly rated recruit coming out of high school. He's probably going to be a starting slot receiver for them this year. And they mentioned Trey Wallace too, who's always, you know, flashed at times too. But yeah, it's just a lot of unknowns right now in Penn State's receiving room. And I think there is talent there, don't get me wrong, but it's just a very unrealized talent. And there's no one that you really feel good about, at least going and, you know, is at least a proven talent going into 2024.
Amari Evans, certainly want to keep an eye on. He had that great 60-plus yard catch against Michigan State. He's had little moments here and there where you see the potential. And I think Liam Clifford can be that reliable slot receiver for Penn State if given the opportunity. So there's a lot of question marks into 2024 for Drew Aller now, especially with Kotel Nicki, new supporting cast around him. But in your opinion, what are some of the things that Drew Aller needs to correct about his game from 2023 to see strides in 2024?
I think he had a tendency of just spraying passes last year. And I think that's something that he needs to correct. And I think he just missed some throws last year. And obviously when you have a guy who's such a big arm like him, it's going to happen sometimes. But I think that's definitely something he can get a little bit better at in terms of what he was last year. I think his accuracy could be worked on a little bit. And I'm just excited to see him throw the ball downfield more. And hopefully they do that this year, because I think that's really critical for him. And the fact that he wasn't throwing the ball at all compared to other quarterbacks in college football, like I said, the second lowest deep pass attempt rate in the country, that is critical. So I think I'm excited to see that. And hopefully that can, you know, add some more confidence to him. Because I mean, there were times last year after the Ohio State game, which I was fortunate enough to go to, I mean, he looked dejected, man. He looked beat down. And you could see that the confidence was kind of wavering him after that game. Hopefully you get that confidence back this year with a new offensive coordinator who can hopefully utilize his talents a little bit more. I'm excited for the Drew Aller this year, even though I am very pessimistic about the receiver room and the offensive line room, at least for Penn State right now. Because there is talent. Again, I keep wanting to emphasize this. There is talent in terms of how they were rated coming out of high school. It's just a lot of unproven guys right now. And hopefully they can prove it this year. But I'm more in a wait and see mode with that receiver room and that offensive line room than anything else right now.
I'm entirely with you on that. When it comes to the emotion of this, I think that's ultimately what's driving some of the negativity around Drew Aller, is that he is a quiet, more stoic person altogether from what little we know about him from the outside looking in. Yes, 2023, I think the expectations were just completely through the roof. You saw little bursts here and there in 2022 when he would come in, that Purdue game, especially to open the season, and you saw that one spectacular throw that he had. Everybody's like, oh, wow, this is what we got. This is the future. Get Clifford out. Let's get Aller in. And then 26 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Great ratio, but all of a sudden in 2023, you're like, I wonder what this guy really is. And you use the Hackenberg comparison. I think that's so apropos, and Penn State fans think back on Christian Hackenberg, and regardless of what occurred with him in the National Football League, trying to focus on what he did in college, set plenty of records, had himself a okay supporting cast. Allen Robinson was helping him out for so many things. And then you have to remember in the early stages of the sanctions, but still Hackenberg, big body, strong arm quarterback, decision-making could be questionable. Accuracy could dip here and there. That's some of the similarity I think Penn State fans are seeing. And, oh, by the way, there's a mobile quarterback standing behind him wearing number 9. Like, it's literally a carbon copy, except one dude wore 14 and this guy wears 15. So from an emotional standpoint, honestly, like, do you feel that same way as Penn State fans, is that it's like, oh, man, like, get him out of the way. Let's get Perbula in there. Or is it just I think especially – the NFL draft came around and all the pundits are like, hey, Drew Aller is maybe going to be a top 5 pick next year. And Penn State fans are like, what are you talking about?
I think Drew Aller is capable of being a top 5 pick. I don't think Penn State is capable of allowing him to be a top 5 pick. That's the issue. I think that is, I don't know. That's why if I was him, I mean, I don't know. It's tough for me to really say anything like that, but I think it's really hard for me to see him being a top for her first round pick with that supporting cast right now. And that's obviously separating him from a supporting cast is something you should be doing as an evaluator, but it's going to be really tough for evaluators to do that when, you know, if he has another year like last year, I think he's going to be more like a day 2 or even day 3 pick probably in the NFL draft, or even return for another year. I'm not one of the people at all that thinks Bo Pabula should be the starting quarterback for Penn State at all. I think Aller, I made the Hackenberg comp. I think Aller's a lot better than Hackenberg. I think he is. He had a much better year last year than what we saw from Hackenberg in his sophomore and junior campaigns. So I am a lot higher on Aller than I was on Hackenberg. I do think there's a way for him to fit in this offense, whereas Hackenberg was kind of just fitting a square peg in a round hole at Penn State during his career there when James Franklin got there. So I think Aller is I'm a lot higher on him. I'm just worried about Penn State not supporting him enough and just looking back years from now and saying, man, what a waste of talent that was, you know? And I think Drew Aller is capable of going to the NFL and being a much better quarterback in the NFL, maybe even becoming a starting quarterback in the NFL. And Penn State fans are looking at it and like, what the heck did we do? Like, what happened? And I'm telling you, I think it's just because Penn State didn't support him with enough talent right now. So I am really high on Drew Aller, much higher than him than I was on Christian Hackenberg. And I think he has a talent of being a first round quarterback, but I just don't foresee that happening as of right now, because I'm a little bit worried about the, you know, talent around him not really letting him show that off enough.
The one thing I want to end on is the relationship between James Franklin and his track record with quarterbacks. And I've talked about this before on this show, is that going back to his time at Vanderbilt, Austin Carter Samuels, Jordan Rodgers, brother of Aaron Rodgers, then you get to Penn State, you use the perfect terminology, Hackenberg, square peg in a round hole, especially based on what James Franklin wanted that offense to be in 2014. And then you get, okay, Hackenberg leaves, and Hackenberg's been on the record that he felt like he had to, quote, get out of there because, A, he was getting beaten up. The offensive line was not good, and he was taking a beating just on a regular basis from the outside world, and he was just ready to go mentally. But then you see the quarterbacks that follow, and Trace McSorley and Sean Clifford, very, very similar quarterbacks. Thus, I think the love affair with Bo Prabula, because he fits that mold much more than he fits the Aller or the Hackenberg mold. Is Drew Aller a square peg in a round hole based on what James Franklin wants at quarterback?
Yes. Last year he was. And I think that was why I made the Hackenberg comparison, because I felt the same way. I was like, I don't really think it's his fault. Like a lot of the same thing with Hackenberg. I never thought it was too much of Hackenberg's fault. No, I thought Hackenberg was worse than Drew Aller, like I said. But it was like that last year. Now, I am more intrigued by Andy Kolodnicki coming in, because I think that they are going to be able to scheme some receivers open and help out Drew Aller that way. So that's why I'm a little excited about that. But if it's the same thing where James Franklin hires an OC and just, you know, has his same offense every single year, no matter who the OC is, then it's the same problem, right? But if he really does allow Andy Kolodnicki to come in and do the same things he was doing at Kansas with all the motion they do before the snap and all that, I think it really could work out well. It's just a matter of how much James Franklin's going to want to have his hands in that offense and mold the offense, or whether or not he's just going to let Andy Kolodnicki run it himself. So I'm really hoping James Franklin is a little more hands-off with his offense and let Kolodnicki kind of do what he was hired to do. But if it's the same thing where he just hires an OC and the offense looks the exact same, then there's gonna be major issues for Penn State as it was last year, and probably even more than last year, honestly, with the talent that left them. I mean, they got way worse in the offensive line, obviously, and then the receiving room is at least the same as it was last year, which was not good. So I think it all rides on Kolodnicki next year. It really does. I think Aller taking another step forward, but more than that, I think Kolodnicki putting him in positions to succeed is going to be the biggest key for that offense next year, more than anything else.
And on top of that, if it doesn't work out with a 12-team playoff and Penn State doesn't make that 12-team playoff, now it's a big problem.
Yeah. Then we start talking. I do think James Franklin, I want to put this out there because Penn State fans have always been talking about James Franklin getting fired. I think Penn State is a top 10 to 15 job in college football. I think James Franklin's a top 10 to 15 head coach in college football. So Agreed. There's so many times where you're chasing more, where it's like, you got to know where you are. You know, you got to understand that, hey, you're not Ohio State. Okay. You're not going to be competing for national championships every single year. So the fact that Penn State fans are getting so up in arms about losing to Ohio State and Michigan every year, yes, it is frustrating that you're losing to them every single year, but also recognize they're two top five teams in the country. Everyone else is also losing to them every year. So I think that is something that I want people to keep in mind. Like, yes, it is frustrating to always be right there and not get over the hump, But at the same time, you don't want to go chasing after someone else and get worse because of it. I mean, look at what Nebraska did with Bo Pelini, who was a really good head coach for them, was winning 8-9 games for them. They said, ah, it's not enough. We got to get someone else in there. And they went to the dumpster, right? It was just terrible. So I think the grass is always greener is a problem, right? And I think Penn State fans at least have that problem right now where they think, oh, the grass is greener. Let's go out and get another head coach. I think James Franklin is as good of a head coach as Penn State is as a job. So I don't think Penn State can do too much better than James Franklin right now. Now, that the great thing about the Big Ten going into next year is that you're adding programs that are similar level to Penn State, whereas Penn State before in 2023 and before, it was kind of, okay, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State the next tier, and that's why they kept losing to Ohio State, Michigan, and they beat everyone else. Great. Now you're adding USC. Now you're adding Oregon. Now you're adding – I know UCLA is going to have really big struggles, but UCLA and Washington – I think at least Oregon, Washington, USC, I think Penn State is similar to their level or maybe even a little bit above it. If you can't beat those teams, then we'll talk. Then we'll talk about that and say, okay, maybe there is an issue here and maybe we do need to move on. Because I think that's the issue for Penn State is right now is that, you know, Penn State fans want to beat Ohio State, Michigan. So yeah, so does everyone else in the country and they can't do it either. So I think that's the big thing with them right now. That's why I'm so excited about this new look Big Ten. Because it'll give Penn State fans more of an idea of where they actually are compared to anyone else. Because I think comparing yourself to Ohio State and Michigan and saying, oh, why aren't we up there? Man, they're competing for national titles. You're not on that level. I'm sorry. So if they can't make the playoff, a 12-team playoff, and if they can't beat Oregon and maybe not Oregon next year because Oregon is a house next year. But if they can't beat USC, for example, if they go to USC next year and lose or something like that and they lose 3 or 4 games, then let's talk. Then let's talk about James Franklin maybe not being the guy for Penn State. But as of right now, I think he is very – I would not say he's on the hot seat really too much at all unless he has a disastrous year next year. Because I just think – I think comparing yourself to two elite programs when you're a good pro, a really great program but not an elite one, that's just – I think it's a little miscalculated in my opinion.
You remember 2018 as well just as much as I do. Yep.
Yeah,
the post Ohio State press conference there. And I'll say this to close. The gap in NIL between Ohio State, Michigan, and all these other teams, I think Penn State fans, if they saw the dollars spent to wins that Penn State and James Franklin have collected now going into his 10th season, they would be like, oh, man, that's Moneyball. That's good.
Like quite literally like the Oakland A's, New York Yankees type thing, right? I mean, look at Ohio State and how much money they spent this offseason retaining all their players, bringing in the second best running back in the country, Quinshon Judkins, bringing in Caleb Downs, bringing in Will Howard. They brought in everyone. They brought back everyone. Like the money difference is massive. And I think it's a great point by you. And that's, again, it's just hard to compete with that when you have these programs and not even in a transfer portal, but recruiting as well. So I think that's key for Penn State this year and key for people realizing. I want Penn State fans to more understand where they are as a program than, you know, because before when they were getting upset about not making a 4-team college football playoff, it's like, you're not a top 5 program in the country. I'm sorry. Now in a 12-team playoff, that's more Penn State's range now. So now if they can't make that playoff, like I said, then they'll start talking, then they'll start having the conversations. But I think right now talking about it is a little premature in my opinion, but I think the new look Big Ten and the 12-team playoff is a perfect experiment to see whether or not Penn State is where they should be, honestly, with James Franklin.
Max, can't thank you enough. I'm a big fan of Pro Football Focus. Check out Max Chadwick's work as a part of PFF whenever you have the chance. And hopefully this is a fun 2024 season for us as we can, hopefully, you know, be as emotionally invested as Penn State fans as we are. But Max, thank you very much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.